Ever felt that familiar pang of dread when you hit send on a quick message, only to realize the tone was completely off?
Oh,
Like
devil, yes.
your inbox feels less like a tool and more like, I don't know, a runaway train. We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a universal digital dilemma. Today, we're embarking on a deep dive into email and digital correspondence. We're pulling from a comprehensive guide, but our goal is to go beyond just the basics.
Yeah, much deeper.
We want to cut through the noise, maybe reveal some surprising insights, and arm you with seriously actionable strategies, things you can use to transform that digital chaos into clarity.
Right.
Think of it as a shortcut, maybe, to mastering communication in this, well, modern age.
That's a great way to put it. Because in a world just utterly saturated with digital messages, truly mastering these tools isn't just about being efficient. It's not just speed. It's
Yeah.
fundamentally about avoiding, significant pitfalls,
Yeah.
building stronger professional relationships, and genuinely enhancing your presence,
Yeah.
your reputation even. So we're going to unpack why understanding the subtle nuances of digital interaction is so crucial, helping you ensure your messages always land exactly as intended and, crucially, cut through that relentless clutter.
Okay, so let's dive into email first. The digital workhorse we all kind of love to hate, right?
Yeah.
It's remarkable to think this technology first widely adopted back in, what, 1993?
Around then, yeah.
It is still the absolute backbone of professional communication. For something that's been around for over 30 years, you'd think we'd have it down pat.
You would think.
Yet for so many people, it still feels like, as our sources put it, a black hole where productivity goes to die. Why is it still such a challenge to get right?
Yeah, you've hit on a critical point. While the tech is old, the art of effective email, well, that's constantly evolving. It really boils down to simple structure, a good dose of common sense, and most importantly, truly understanding your audience.
Okay.
We've actually distilled it into six essential steps. Steps that ensure your emails cut through the noise, actually get read, and, prompt action.
Six steps. Let's hear them.
All right. First, your subject line. Think of it not just as a label, but as the crucial gatekeeper.
Right, the first thing they say.
Exactly. And did you know that a poorly crafted subject line can slash your open rate by as much as 50%?
Wow, 50%.
Yeah. It's not enough to just be descriptive. Instead of generic things like question or update, which just get lost, effective subject lines leverage, well, psychological triggers.
Okay, like what?
So, something like, quick question about the Q3 sales report. That signals brevity and the topic. Or maybe, update, project deadline extended to June 15th. Immediately conveys vital info and urgency. It's about optimizing for engagement, not just identification.
Makes sense. Get specific.
Precisely. Second, your greeting. This sets the immediate tone. Avoid overly casual stuff like, hey there, or heaven forbid, yo.
Oh, please, no, yo.
Oh, right. Stick to professional yet approachable options. Hi, Alex. Good morning, Dr. Wilson. Or maybe, hello, team. This small detail instantly establishes respect, professionalism.
Got it. Number three.
Third, get to the point and do it fast. Studies show the average recipient spends just a few seconds scanning an email before deciding whether to read on.
Just seconds.
Wow. Yeah. So don't start with conversational fluff like, hope you're doing well. Did you get a chance to? No, be direct. I'm reaching out to confirm you've received the latest sale figures. Clarity up front respects their time.
Okay, directness. Number four.
Fourth, readability. This profoundly impacts comprehension. Imagine someone trying to read your email on a tiny phone screen while they're multitasking.
Yeah, that's most of us. Sure.
Totally. So, to counteract that cognitive load, use short paragraphs, ideally like no more than three sentences. Incorporate bullet points, numbered lists, bold text for the critical stuff.
Break it up.
Exactly. For instance, hi Sam, key takeaways from today's meeting, then bullet points. Client requested changes, marketing needs final drafts, quick follow-up needed, makes it scannable, digestible.
Much easier to grasp. Number five.
Fifth, close professionally and with clear expectations. Your reader should never be left guessing what happens next. Compare a vague talk later to something directive like, please let me know by tomorrow if you approve the attached proposal. Thanks again for your quick response. A clear closing ensures action.
Right. Tells them exactly what you need. And the last one, number six.
And finally, choose an appropriate sign-off. Cheers might be fine with a close colleague, maybe.
Maybe.
But it doesn't always fit. For casual professional, best regards, thank you, or warm regards work well. More formal. Opt for sincerely or respectfully. Always match your sign-off to your relationship and the message context.
Those are incredibly concrete steps. It's interesting how, like you said, what seems like common sense often just gets overlooked when we're rushing.
It really does.
But beyond just structure, what about those unwritten rules, email etiquette?
Absolutely. Beyond structure, there are fundamental etiquette reminders. Always, and I mean always, proofread meticulously. Grammar, spelling.
Oh, the typo.
Exactly. Studies show even minor grammatical errors can reduce perceived trustworthiness by up to 40% in business communication.
40%? That's huge.
It subtly undermines your message. Use reply all sparingly. Ask yourself, does everyone need this? It's for collective info, not just your reply.
Good point.
Respect their time, keep messages concise, and aim to respond promptly, ideally within, say, 24 to 48 hours, for non-urgent things.
So if you apply this disciplined approach, your emails don't just get sent out into the void. They actually stand out. Professional, clear, genuinely helpful, cutting through all that noise.
That's the goal.
Okay, now let's talk about the tricky beast home tone. Ever sent a quick message, maybe an IM, only to realize later it was completely misunderstood, or worse, came across as rude?
Oh, absolutely. It happens all the time.
Why is digital communication such a minefield when it comes to expressing intent and managing tone?
It's a fascinating challenge, really. The core problem is that digital communication, unlike face-to-face or even a phone call, it strips away all those crucial visual and vocal cues.
Yeah, no body language, no tone of voice.
Exactly. Facial expressions, the nuances in how you say something, gone. It's like trying to understand a play just by reading the script without seeing the actors.
Right.
This leaves messages highly susceptible to misinterpretation, often leading to awkward or sometimes even damaging outcomes.
So what's the defense? How do we manage it?
The first, and I'd argue most vital defense, is the pause.
The pause.
Seriously, take a full 30 seconds before hitting send, especially on anything potentially sensitive. Ask yourself, could this be misunderstood? Yeah. Is my tone appropriate here? Would I say this exact thing face to face?
That's a good check.
This simple pause leverages impulse control. Saves countless headaches, believe me.
Okay, pause first. Then what?
Second, word choice is paramount. Your words carry immense weight without those nonverbal cues. Contrast a risky phrase like, did you even read my email?
Oof. Yeah, that sounds aggressive.
Right. Compare that with a far more professional, less confrontational alternative, like, I wanted to check if you saw my email earlier. The words themselves dictate the tone.
Subtle difference, big impact. What's third?
Third, strategic formatting, and yes, emojis require careful thought. Bullet points or bold text can clarify intent, almost like digital gestures. Emojis can add warmth or personality.
No.
But they are highly context dependent. Thanks for the update.
Yeah.
That's generally fine in informal professional settings.
Okay.
However, please review the attached report ASAP. Probably unprofessional, right? Undermines the seriousness. Use them carefully.
Got it. Tread lightly with the emojis. Fourth,
don't assume. Explicitly state your intent, especially in sensitive messages. Can you handle this?
Mm-hmm.
It's vague, open to interpretation.
Could mean anything.
Exactly. Far better. Could you please review this document by end of day Thursday and let me know your feedback? Your input will really help us finalize the project. Leave no room for doubt about your purpose.
Clarity again. Fifth,
always show empathy. Consider your recipient's perspective before you write. Instead of, why haven't you replied to my email yet? No, try something like, I understand you're busy this week. Just checking in on my previous email. Is there anything I can clarify?
Much gentler.
It fosters trust and respect, even when you're following up.
And the sixth point on tone.
And sixth, if you suspect a misunderstanding has occurred, follow up promptly. A quick clarification can prevent a small miscommunication from escalating. For example, sorry if my previous email was unclear. My intention was simply to confirm your availability. Addressing it directly shows professionalism, a commitment to clear communication.
That's a really powerful framework. Think about sending a reminder, maybe for an overdue task. A poor tone would be, you were supposed to send this yesterday. When will you get it done?
Yeah, accusatory.
Totally. Burns bridges. But with a clear, professional, empathetic tone, it becomes. Just wanted to gently remind you about the document due yesterday. I realize you're probably very busy. Could you update me on your timeline? If you need help, let me know.
Huge difference.
It's not just politeness, is it? It's about maintaining the relationship and actually getting the task done effectively.
Precisely. The power of mastering tone isn't just about being nice. It's strategic. It ensures your digital messages are always professional, clear, respectful, ultimately improving collaboration, improving outcomes.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. Instant messaging, collaboration tools, Slack, Teams, you name it. For some, they're the greatest productivity boosters ever. For others,
the most relentless distractions.
Exactly. How do we harness these tools for their efficiency without getting completely lost in that whirlwind of notifications and GIFs?
This is such a critical question for modern workplaces. These tools promise instant connectivity, efficient collaboration, but misuse. That can lead to serious productivity loss, frustrating misunderstandings.
So what's the goal?
The goal here is efficient, concise communication with clear intent, and crucially, reducing that digital overwhelm we all feel.
Okay, how do we do that?
First, choosing the right channel is paramount. Ask yourself, is this an IM, an email, or does it need a call?
White tool for the job.
Exactly. IM is great for quick questions, brief clarifications, immediate updates, but for detailed stuff, lengthy messages, sensitive issues, or anything needing a documented paper trail, email or a call is almost always better.
Okay, choose the channel wisely. What's next?
Second, set and respect boundaries. The immediacy of IM doesn't always equal urgency. Use those status features away, do not disturb, and communicate your availability clearly, maybe in your status. Offline after 6 p.m., email for non-urgent, reply tomorrow.
Manage expectations.
Absolutely, protects your focus time. Third, brevity is king, but clarity is the crown. IM thrives on concise messages. The cognitive science is clear. Shorter messages are processed faster, reduce digital fatigue.
Keep it short.
But there's a fine line between concise and cryptic. Instead of, hey, sorry to bother, wonder about that thing.
Vague.
Right. Go with clear and concise. Could you send me the sales report by 3 p.m.? Need it for the quarterly analysis, thanks. Trim the fat, but don't cut the muscle.
Clear and concise. Got it. Fourth.
Fourth, emojis and GIFs. Use with extreme moderation and professionalism. They can add warmth, but they must align with your organizational culture. Thanks. Generally okay. But using a reaction GIF for a serious financial report, probably inappropriate. When in doubt, err on the side of less.
Makes sense. Less is more sometimes. What's number five?
Fifth, always clarify intent when needed. Because tone is so often absent in IM, you have to be explicit. Instead of, did you finish that yet? Which can sound demanding.
Yeah, pushy.
Try. Just checking on the status of the report, do you need any support from me, makes it helpful, not accusatory.
Better approach. And sixth.
Sixth, be responsive, but not necessarily immediately reactive. Acknowledge urgent messages quickly. Got it on it now. But for non-urgent ones, allow yourself brief delays. A simple thanks, I'll review and respond after this meeting, manages expectations without demanding an instant detailed reply.
Right, you don't have to drop everything. And the last point for IM.
And finally, maintain professionalism. Even in IM. Remember, this is still professional communication. Avoid overly casual language, slang. Contrast, hey dude, where's that stuff you promised with, could you send over the updated timeline when you have a moment?
Big difference in perception.
It's subtle, but projects a much stronger professional image.
Yeah, I've definitely had my moments with IM where I've typed something way too quickly. But you're right, the goal isn't to avoid them, it's using them strategically. Like, if you need a quick clarification, you don't send a novel. Yeah. You just type, quick question, could you confirm the deadline for the social media project? Thanks. Efficient professional gets the answer, no ambiguity.
Exactly. When we apply these guidelines, we genuinely harness these powerful tools for productivity and clarity, instead of letting them become sources of, well, chaos and frustration.
Ah, email mishaps. We've all been there, haven't we? The dreaded reply all to the entire company.
Oh, yes.
The sinking feeling of forgetting an attachment. Again, or that classic oops, wrong Alex moment.
Mm-hmm.
How do we inoculate ourselves against these cringeworthy, reputation damaging moments?
You're right. Most of these mistakes are completely avoidable, and preventing them is just critical for protecting your professional reputation. Let's unpack the most common pitfalls.
Okay, let's hear the pitfalls.
Pitfall number one.
Pitfall.
The dreaded reply all. This one is legendary.
The worst.
Always double check recipients. Ask yourself, does everyone on this list genuinely need my response? Yeah. If not, pare it down. If you do accidentally hit it, send a quick polite apology. Just the necessary people. Move on. It happens.
It does happen, and it's always mortifying. But is there ever a time when reply all is actually the right move, like for team transparency or something?
That's a great question. And yes, absolutely. Reply all is appropriate when the information is truly relevant to all original recipients. For example, a collective decision needs communicating, or you're providing an update that affects everyone on that thread. The key is intent and relevance.
Yeah.
Is it really for everyone?
Got it. Pitfall number two.
Pitfall two. Forgetting the attachment. infuriatingly common. The simplest fix. Attach your file first, then write the email.
Attach first. Good tip.
Many email programs now even have AI warnings, right? They detect if you mentioned attached but didn't include anything. Heed those warnings.
Listen to the machine. Okay, number three.
Pitfall three, misaddressing your email. The oops, wrong Alex. Slow down.
Yeah.
Especially with autofill, similar names can cause major gaffes. Take that extra second. Confirm the recipient. If you mess up, send an immediate, polite follow-up explaining the error. Transparency helps.
Okay, slow down. Check names. Fourth pitfall.
Pitfall four, emotional email responses. Never, ever email when you're emotional or angry. Ever.
The heat of the moment sin.
Exactly. I once drafted an email when I was incredibly frustrated, walked away, reread it the next morning. I was shocked how aggressive it sounded. My rule, draft it, walk away, at least 30 minutes, maybe overnight, then reread and revise when you've cooled down.
Wise words. Future you will be grateful.
Absolutely. Pitfall five, typos and grammar mistakes. Proofread, please. Beyond just looking unprofessional, errors subtly reduce your credibility. Always reread at least once, reading it aloud. That helps catch awkward phrasing or missed words, and use those built-in grammar checkers. They're pretty good now.
Use the tools. Okay, number six.
Pitfall six. Lengthy, rambling emails. Your email isn't a novel. Respect their time, their cognitive bandwidth. State your main point immediately. Keep your short 2-3 sentences max. Use bullet points. If it gets too long, maybe it should be a call or a meeting instead.
Good point. Brevity again.
Number seven. Pitfall seven. Unprofessional tone or language. Stick to clear, straightforward language. Match your tone to the context. And when in doubt, err on the side of slightly more formal. Avoid slang, jargon, overly casual abbreviations.
Keep it professional. Number eight.
Pitfall eight. Poor subject lines. We touched on this, but it bears repeating. Hi or important. Useless. Easily ignored. Your subject line needs to be a specific summary. Agenda for Tuesday's meeting. Feedback request. Q4 marketing plan. Something concrete.
Make it count. And the last pitfall. Number nine.
And pitfall nine. Ignoring basic etiquette. Please and thank you still count. Always include polite greetings, clear requests, appreciative closings. These small gestures, they build professional respect and goodwill. It matters.
That's a fantastic checklist. Almost universal. Let's imagine sending a quick update. Poorly done. Subject. Hey, body, here's the thing you wanted. Let me know what you think. And of course, the attachment is missing.
Classic.
It's jarring, inefficient, creates work for them. But the clear professional version, subject. March sales report attached. Body. Hi, Chris. Attached is the finalized March sales report as requested. Please let me know if you have any feedback or need additional details. Thanks again. Best regards. Your name. And the attachment is there.
Night and day difference.
Totally. Clarity, professionalism.
Exactly. Awareness, meticulous proofreading, clear etiquette, thoughtful communication. These are your strongest defenses against these common pitfalls. Saves embarrassment, preserves your professional standing.
Okay, let's face it. For many of us, our inboxes feel like they have a mind of their own. One minute, it's clean, manageable. The next, boom, exploding with unread messages. How do we reclaim control? Manage that constant influx?
You're touching on such a universal struggle. These aren't just tips. They're simple strategic practices, ways to reclaim your productivity, your sanity, really, making your inbox manageable and your communication consistently professional.
All right, let's hear these best practices. Number one.
Best practice number one, set clear response expectations. You don't need to be instantly available 24/7. Communicate your typical response time, maybe in your signature or an auto reply. I typically respond within 24 hours on weekdays for urgent stuff. Acknowledge receipt promptly. Thanks. I'll review this and reply fully by tomorrow afternoon.
Manage expectations for them and for you.
Exactly. Best practice two, embrace the 2-minute rule. If a response or action takes less than 2 minutes, handle it immediately.
Get it done.
This isn't just efficiency. It's about decision making. Tackling small tasks right away. Got it. Thank you. Or, yes, Wednesday at 3 p.m. works. Prevents decision fatigue. Stops those tiny to-dos piling up in your head.
Reduces mental clutter. I like it. Number three.
Best practice three. Schedule dedicated email times. Constant email checking just fragments your attention, disrupts your flow. Counter this by scheduling specific blocks for email. Maybe 9.000s, 9.3000, 1.000000, 1.30 p.m., 4.30500 p.m.
Batch processing.
Exactly. And organize your inbox clearly. An organized inbox is a manageable one. Use folders, labels, rules within your email client. Create categories, urgent action, current projects, reference materials. Helps you find stuff quickly, reduces that visual clutter.
Systemize it. Number 5.
Best practice 5. Master the art of brief, clear replies. Long-winded replies often get ignored. They just add to the recipient's cognitive load. Instead of rambling, "Hi, thanks. Regarding your questions, maybe we could consider meeting soon. Let me know."
Ugh, painful to read.
Right. Opt for brevity and clarity. "Hi, thanks for reaching out. Let's schedule a brief meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. to discuss your questions. Does that time work?"
Direct. Actionable. Number 6.
Best practice 6. Close the loop. Always explicitly indicate the next step or signal the conversation's conclusion. Avoid ambiguous endings like, "Let me know your thoughts."
Leave it hanging.
Precisely. Instead, "Please confirm if Tuesday works for our meeting. I'll then send a calendar invite." Avoids ambiguity. Avoids unnecessary follow-ups.
Clear closure. And the last one, number 7.
And best practice 7. Archive and delete regularly. A lean inbox is a happy inbox. Regularly archive completed tasks. Delete irrelevant emails.
Right.
Make it a weekly cleanup habit. Prevent that digital clutter from piling up. It's not just aesthetics. It helps you focus on what truly needs your attention.
That truly sounds like a system, not just random tips. Imagine managing a fast-paced project. Instead of constant interruptions, you'd start by setting response expectations. Checking email 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., use chat for urgent. Quick approval, 2-minute rule, handle it, project emails. Into the project alpha folder, replies, brief. Proceed with option B, let me know when complete. Decision made, close the loop. Meeting confirmed Tuesday, 2 p.m., invite sent. Project wraps, archive the thread.
Transforms chaos into workflow.
Exactly. A smooth, deliberate workflow.
Precisely. By setting clear expectations, scheduling communication thoughtfully, organizing strategically, keeping responses brief and actionable, you don't just manage digital communication, you master it. Maintaining clarity, productivity, professionalism without the overwhelm.
Wow. What a journey we've taken today. From structuring professional emails, navigating tricky tones, to taming those instant messaging tools, diligently avoiding the common pitfalls, and finally, organizing your entire digital communication flow. One thing is abundantly clear. Yeah. These digital tools, they aren't going anywhere. Their importance is only growing.
That's absolutely right. Effective digital communication isn't just a desirable skill in today's workplace. It's fundamental. Mastering professional emails, truly understanding tone and intent, using IM and collaboration tools appropriately, proactively avoiding pitfalls, organizing your interactions, it sets you apart.
It's more than just efficiency.
So much more. These aren't just hacks. They are core competencies. They will boost your productivity, dramatically improve your professional relationships, and significantly enhance your career trajectory. It's foundational stuff.
You're now equipped with some really powerful strategies, things that go beyond the obvious. But remember, the true mastery isn't just knowing these techniques, is it?
No, it's in the doing.
It comes from consistently, confidently, intentionally applying them every single day, making them a seamless part of your professional DNA.
Ready to continue building your communication skills even further. Excellent. Let's keep moving forward.